Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. It's the perfect time of year, Jones. The perfect time of year to fill in for Patty Vasquez. Thrilled for it because we're men on a mission. Men on a mission.
Now, are you talking about just this evening or for the year going forward? Because well, I am definitely, this is my mission time of year.
This is when everyone has their missions, but all year long, we do this show on WGNplus.com. All of our shows are at jonesandmike.com. And we try to impart, we try to be your friend. We try to impart some sort of a message. And this message is so important. Do not join a gym, even though you're going to want to. You're going to want to in just a few days.
Now, are you saying every gym across the board? Because I don't know if I'm down with that.
First of all, it's 78 degrees in Chicago. There's almost no reason to join anything right now. But my mission is I want you to save your money. Save your money.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You can't eliminate gym usage across the board. Because then what are you left with? Then you're left with running, and then you're left with a runner's body.
No. We have
no one wants that.
No, we do have a goal. Rob Martyr's in the newsroom. Rob, I want to ask you. You sound like a very virile man.
Have four kids.
You have four kids. I have four kids.
There you go.
You are a gym member currently.
I am not.
You are not.
I am not.
Do you get the itch to join a gym this time of the year?
I do. It's fleeting. Then I pour myself a bourbon and ginger ale, and I sit back on the couch and relax.
You do. You have one of those, like in soap operas. I hope my wife for Christmas gets me one of those crystal soap opera-y, like little get-ups with the bourbon in it and the scotch. And I can go over to the corner of the room before we have our argument du jour, and I can pour myself some sort of a stiff drink.
Look,
do you have one of those?
I've got a beautiful treadmill in the basement, which right now is good for the kids cranking up and running their matchbox cars on, or for drying our sweaters, depending on the day of the week.
Okay, but now, Rob,
it goes unused.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's everybody in America. Everyone uses their treadmill to house their clothing.
But don't either of you have some ambition? I mean, look, for me, my fitness goal in 2016.
He's talking to you, Rob.
And
he
no,
knows
I'm
I don't
talking
have
to the both
here.
Of you. I'm talking to the both of you. My fitness goal, and I'm going to say it right on the 50,000 watt blowtorch, my fitness goal for 2016 is to become a destroyer of midgets and giants alike. I want to become an animal.
It's politically
like,
incorrect.
Like, don't you?
Very, very insensitive.
Why? Do you have an issue with giants?
I do.
But no, wouldn't you? That kind of surprises me. Isn't this the time of year for ambition?
No, I want people to have ambition, but I do not want people to fall prey to the marketing of the season.
Right.
To go out and to join some fitness club, and then you walk in. I've done this. You walk in, and then you're confused. You don't know how to use the machines. Now you can text people. When I belonged to Lifetime Fitness 12 years ago or whatever, at least I couldn't text my old lady to be like, I don't know what I'm doing in this place. Now that's all I would be doing. Or maybe I'd be watching tutorials on YouTube on how to use the machine.
And the problem with gyms these days is that you've got everybody decked out in Lululemon, including the men, which is absolutely insane.
And
my
you,
fitness goal is much simpler. Look, I'm in a 38 waist now.
Oh.
I'd like to get back to a 36.
And how do you want to do that, Rob?
I have no idea.
But that's what we're talking about today.
But it's not by wasting my money on a gym.
Right, right. Okay. You know what? I thought that you were going to say I have been donating my money to a gym every month. And I hate this time of the year because when you're a gym member, you know, for the first 35 days of the year, you have to put up with all the newbies like me that come in and wide-eyed, ambitious. And then by February, it starts to calm down.
Okay, now is this a thing? I do have to just ask. Is this a thing perhaps I have no children, no wife, no kids, and I have this ambition to transform myself into some level of a physical monster, an intimidator, if you will.
Because you're diminutive
now,
currently.
But it's interesting that the two guys who have people, little people on Earth that they need to physically protect, right?
I'm glad you didn't call my children midgets.
Well,
you're learning.
I'm growing. This show's about growth. I'm surprised there's not a larger health goal between either of you guys.
No, and there is. And
how do you plan to get to that then, Mike?
Rob, back me up on this. Our goal is just to stay alive.
Right.
For these kids. How old are your kids?
15-year-old twins, a 6 and a 4-year-old.
Okay. So a little larger span. Mine go from 13 down to 4.
Oh, you've got a pretty good spread there.
Yeah, so we're pretty identical there. And so really we got to make it 18 more years, right? My youngest will be 22, and then I can succumb to whatever, you know, this angina will finally develop into something more significant.
Yes. I'm hoping to grind out at least 30 to 35 more years because my youngest is my daughter, and I'd like to walk her down the aisle. But then at that point, it's all gravy.
Yeah, you don't want to roll down the aisle. You don't want her pushing her father in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Like an oxygen tank. No, that's not going to happen. I'll be okay.
Okay, so Mike, how are you planning on getting there then? If you're talking about some level of fitness.
Can I show you this morning? Look at this.
No, don't.
That's my stomach. This morning, I looked in the mirror. And I don't fall prey into, like most people do, like, all right, in a week, I got to join a gym, I got to do things or whatever. And with it being 78, you think I would be getting out on the trails. But I haven't even had that itch at all. And I want to encourage everyone in America to eschew the marketing ploys, skip the treadmills, save that $900, save the $900 donations to whatever gym you've been looking at, and work toward a goal, a fitness goal.
What's your fitness goal? As a guy, and I have to point out, you have always been the guy to say, man, over the years, I've learned running's a waste of time. You look at those people, they just look weak. They look skinny, fat. So what is your goal?
Yeah, you can be overweight. I just showed you.
I know.
And I can go out and run. So it has to be that you're training for something. So I think that we're lockstep in this, Jones. You have to be training toward an end result.
Yes.
Yours, apparently, is to beat people about their head and torso with your clenched fists.
Or at least to give off that aura.
Yeah. To transform yourself from diminutive.
To powerful.
So we have our guest that we'll be bringing in just a few moments, who I believe him to be a trained killer. I believe him to be the man that can lead you on that mission. So you're not just stuck on some elliptical. You're not just running on a treadmill. But you're working toward some goal, self-defense, and I like people that run, and I'm running because I'm going to be in the marathon, or like you did for the Chicago Triathlon.
Right.
That kind of training. That's what I'm. Yes, a purpose toward it. Not because, and that's why people fail in their goals this time of the year. They get on the treadmill, and you can't see results.
The goal is just to get to the treadmill. That's the problem. Once you start running, for a lot of people, once you start running, then you're like, all right, cool. I'm a runner. I've hit it.
Yeah, I did it. Now I can go have my 4,000 calorie reward.
Exactly.
Right. But if your goal is to run the marathon, be in a triathlon, get in the octagon.
Yeah, now we're talking man stuff.
Fight off a flash protest, because there's a lot of those here in Chicago, all of a sudden. Whatever that goal is, that's what we need to be working toward. So we've got Robbie Cole coming up in just a couple of minutes. Train killer. I do believe he has killed a man.
Well, we're going to ask him about that.
I believe he has done the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse move.
Yeah, there's a physical ease to him. He walks into a room in a way that we walk in and we scream apology. There's no apology in his entrance into a room.
Yeah. You definitely feel. You know what it is? They have a certain head about them. People who are fighters, they have these ears that tell a tale of woe. Tell a tale of woe, Joe. Do you want those fighter ears, though?
I think I'll have time to develop them and think about it as I go. Because fighterish, I want my earlobes to look.
That's the one thing that I am. Rob, have you ever studied in the martial arts? Have you ever considered learning self-defense? We're going to find out.
No, I have not.
You have not?
No.
Okay. But would you consider that, especially with your daughters?
Well, with my daughter, who's actually pretty tough at the age of 4, I don't know if I have too much to worry about. But, you know, I look at these guys, for instance, who climb into the octagon. Now, those guys, they've got a screw loose. There's no way I'd want to tangle with any of them.
All right, so Robbie Cole from POW Chicago is coming up in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, we're in for Patty Vasquez. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. I think she calls her show Up Pretty Late.
Okay.
We'll have to call it, with us, it's Up Ugly Late.
Right.
So, with a train killer in the studio, Robbie Cole. Robbie.
How's it going?
You have killed a man?
I wouldn't say killed a man, but pretty close.
Have you seen Roadhouse?
I have, yeah.
Can that be done? Can you take a man's throat out of his body with your hand?
I don't think so. It probably can be done, but I can't do it.
Come on up to the mic, and real close. Come closer to, there we go.
Okay.
All right. Like it's a fist.
All right.
All right, you're from POW Chicago, POW Gym Chicago.
Yes.
You are the man that can lead us on the ambitious goal. So we're not just working out.
Yeah.
We're working toward a goal. Does my premise hold water for you at all? Do you see that people do better with their fitness goals when they have a goal?
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Goal of self-defense, the goal of fighting.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis just getting on an elliptical.
Yeah, I mean, once you set a goal, then you've got something to go for. And if you don't have a goal, then you're running blind. I mean, you're not going for anything. You don't know what you're doing, you know. So set something and stick to it.
And your discipline is Muay Thai fighting.
Yes.
You can kill a man with Muay Thai fighting. What's Muay Thai?
Muay Thai is the art of 8 limbs. So 2 hands, 2 feet, 2 elbows, 2 knees. And it comes from Thailand. It's their national sport.
Now, Robbie, yep. You know, we can tell by the accent you're not from Thailand. How did you get involved in this sport? A nice English gentleman like yourself.
Oh, when I was about 8 years old, my mom wanted me to do karate and my father wanted me to box. And I guess my mom won the argument and sent me to karate. And then one day, there was a boxing gym right close to the dojo where I did my karate. And these boxer guys used to hang outside the place where we used to do karate and call us names as we were coming out and finished our class. So I got into it with one of the guys and he threw a punch and I blocked it karate style. And punched him in the face, and then he threw a fake punch, so I'd block it again, so I missed his punch, and then he threw a punch in my face, which dropped me on my butt. So then I went home crying to my dad.
That's what I was going to say. Did you cry? You cried.
Yeah, I was like 8.
Oh, okay.
He was 8.
All right. Yeah, and then I went home crying to my dad, and my dad was like, right, that's it. You know, karate's no good. You're going boxing. But, you know, karate was good. I just probably wasn't very good at it, you know. So So then we started boxing up until I was, I think, 11. No, started boxing up until I was about 14. And then there was a Muay Thai gym just opened opposite the boxing gym. So, and it said first week free. So we'd go and finish our boxing training and then go into the Muay Thai gym and train for free right after. So we brought our father down to look at this guy, and he saw the guy kick the bag, and he was like, okay, I'm sold. So
all right,
we started
cool. All right, more with Robbie Cole from Pow Gym Chicago on how you can skip the ellipticals, you can work toward a goal, and maybe save your own life. Mm-hmm. We're in for Patty Vasquez. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. WGN in for Patty Vasquez. It's Jones and Mike. This is the time of year when Patty likes to give of herself. She takes time off to, I think, to work with the homeless, to work with... I'm being told she's on a cruise. Do you believe? She's on a cruise, Jones. She's out doing something fun, I think.
Well, why not, man? This is the time of the year to enjoy yourself.
I believe she took homeless children on the cruise with her.
And although not required if she did not.
Jones, you're on a mission with me, but I think we're coming at this from different angles.
We definitely are.
I believe that, especially when it's 78 degrees out in Chicago, people should be out working out, but working toward a goal. Working toward a goal. In with us from Pow Gym Chicago is Robbie Cole, and you're a Muay Thai expert. Would you say expert?
Yep.
Okay.
I would say that.
You will not cop to having killed a man, but you could.
Well, I probably could.
And you may.
I'd rather
you
not.
May before you leave tonight.
Yeah.
And so, did you live in Thailand?
No, I've never even visited Thailand.
Do you have anything against Thai food?
No, I love it.
You love Thai food?
Yeah.
All right, that's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
We're making baby steps. 312-981-7200 is the number here. Is there a baseline for fitness? So I can't even watch the NFL with my kids anymore because every commercial is people sitting in a tub holding hands.
Yeah.
And then the disclaimer comes on that says, ask your doctor before taking Cialis if sex is right for you. Is there, and I think, like, I'm pretty sure you would know if you can't have.
Yeah.
Is there a baseline fitness level that somebody needs to be at before they take up Muay Thai? Like, should you be able to do 10 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, or could just anybody, any slob like me come in?
You can start anywhere, but there has to be a beginner level. You know, you can't just jump straight into... you know, where the experienced guys are at. So there's like a hierarchy. You know, it's like a white belt, a yellow belt. There's belts as well in Muay Thai, you know.
Yeah.
But you just have a band around your arm instead. But yeah, you do need to have some kind of level of fitness because it's kind of like a step up from running and a step up from box jumps. It's punching and kicking, which is, you know, the top end of the cardio scale, I would say.
Okay, and just like Robbie said, it's a step up from running to get to that baseline. So now my question is, so do you feel, Robbie, that you can get there, that could somebody get there, as Mike presupposes, that you can just go out, get your own level and maintain your own level of fitness? Because and the reason that I'm asking is in 2007, Robbie and I have a mutual friend who was a personal trainer at the time. And in 2007, this guy got me, like, I was 33 years old. I had, like, a flat stomach. I had, like, little ropes on the side. I looked fantastic. But I wasn't going to get there on my own. I was in a gym. I was with a personal trainer. So, Robbie, do you feel that you can get to that baseline level of fitness on your own, or does someone need that instructor?
Well, honestly, I think... You're better off getting an instructor just for the start, at least, to get some kind of an idea of where you need to get to. Because when an instructor's there with you, he will push all of your buttons. He'll go past places where you won't go on your own. You know, you'll give up too easy on your own. And an instructor will push you there.
And how do you know that in someone when you're working with someone else?
You can see it. You can feel it. You can see the struggle.
What would a telltale sign be? And is it any different from, say, when you're training a fighter to John Q. Public, or do we all have the same tells?
No. When you're training a fighter, there's something different about a fighter. A fighter will keep going because you told him to. When somebody you're just training, just a regular guy, and you're trying to get him to do an extra push-up, they'll just give up. You know, they'll try, but they won't be able to do it, you know. But with a fighter, they'll keep trying and trying until they do it, you know. Until they're almost crying, I guess. So
almost crying. Have you ever made a man cry?
I've cried.
I've
cried at the gym many a times.
He can get away with saying he cries.
I'm honestly a staunch
cried so much in the gym through training, like it's not even funny.
Yeah, all right.
Oh yeah.
When was the last time you cried?
from training? In general, probably about 4 weeks ago.
You're so very, very big of you to admit that. I like that. See what the confidence that when you can kill a man with your knee.
Because he knows, where are we really going to go with that information?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah, but you don't care.
No.
What's your opinion of, like, CrossFits?
Actually, I think CrossFit's good, but when it's done bad. So here's the thing with CrossFit. A lot of people jump into CrossFit, and they haven't had the proper training. So they go and do like a stupid amount of push-ups or a stupid amount of box jumps, and they get an injury really quick because they do too much. They don't build themselves up to it so much, you know. So, but now a lot of the CrossFit gyms are actually catching on and training the guys properly and building them up. Whereas when it first started, there were injuries left and right. You know, it was crazy.
Rhabdo is like the shortened version of something that I don't know the rest of it, but rhabdo is the thing that people at CrossFit get. It's like an exhaustion thing that can kill you or something. And so, so what is the baseline? So I'm 41.
Yeah.
As you can see, you've seen this?
Yeah.
Look at my stomach. Look at my stomach.
I mean,
that's disgusting.
That's all we have a guest in the house.
It's disgusting. It is bulbous, and it almost made my coffee come up this morning.
This is why we never get the showcase studio. Yeah.
But with the stomach like this, I want to know when we come back from break, I want to know what is the baseline that I should be at for a 41-year-old man. What should I be able to do? Right now, in front of you.
I mean, we can test you right now.
Maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to do the test.
Sure.
And then you can say, no, I think your heart is not fit for sex or for anything. All right. Well, awesome.
All right.
All right. Cool. Patty Vasquez is out. Jones and Mike are in with Robbie Cole from Pow Gym Chicago, Muay Thai expert, and trying to get you ambitiously ready for the new year, but working toward a goal. Working toward a goal. It's 720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez, here with Robbie Cole. You were just about to tell me how I would know if I'm fit enough. When I did Shotokan, don't look down on me.
Oh, this is great.
I did karate
for like 7 weeks, but let's go.
No, I got some belts. I got some belts when I did it.
13 weeks.
Robbie, when I did it, I just didn't go there. It was like a park district. I can't even say to the dojo. It was like the park district.
Yeah,
with like children there and stuff. I tried to work out a little bit before I went there. I can't be alone. A lot of people probably start off working out at home or whatever.
Yeah.
So for a 41-year-old guy, what should I be able to do?
I mean, you should be able to...
I come to see you.
Before you come to see me, you should probably be able to do 50 burpees in 5 minutes.
And a burpee?
A burpee is pretty much a push-up into a jumping squat.
A burpee into a jumping But you like kind of reach for the stars,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
So you from the squat position, you jump up.
Here in Chicago, we know that. We put your hands up,
yeah. And then you drop yourself to the floor,
that's
and
right.
then you get
yeah.
to the floor.
Yeah, okay.
So, but Rob,
but you should be able to do at least 10 of those in 40 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Without puking.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. He's up right. the game.
All right. And yeah. so, what are there things that we can do around the house? For example, I thought of some examples, Jones. I thought of Chris Zorich. This may be a wives' tale or a myth or something, but allegedly former Bear Chris Zorich was so poor growing up that he used to bench press manhole covers.
Yeah, I've heard this. I think this is a Mark Bavaro of the New York Giants thing, too.
Yeah, he would hang himself, right, to like train his neck. Well, I don't endorse that at all, but that's what I had heard he had done as well.
Right.
He did the old David Carradine.
Right, yeah, well, to a degree. To
yeah,
a, degree.
A little bit different when Mark Bavaro did it.
Yeah.
And then former NFL player, Julia Catholic guy, right, Mike Allstott?
Yeah, yeah.
He allegedly used to run around like dragging cars. Yeah,
like a harness and
station
he would
wagon
cars
or something. Right. So, are there any like cheap freemium things that I can do around the house with like soup cans in my hand or something?
I mean, yeah, actually, if you get soup cans and just do like push press, which is you lift them up above your head alternatively.
Yeah.
Just keep doing that for a minute and you'll start sweating.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you can do walking lunges around the house.
Yeah.
You know, you can do frog jumps around the house. Your kids might think it's hilarious, but it'll work.
Well,
you'll get a workout in. Yeah.
I'm making them laugh now with my level of unfitness, honestly.
So, Mike, do you know, Mike, personally, where do you feel you're at on your baseline fitness? Where do you feel that you would come in on the 10 burpees in 40 seconds scale?
I don't even need to talk to my doctor to know that I'm barely able to have sex. And barely able to do, I think I could do the burpees thing.
Okay.
I don't think I want to do it, though, right now. I don't think I want to do it.
Come on, 40 seconds.
I've got 2 more hours of this to go.
I know, but we have commercial breaks. You can take a little nap.
Yeah, I know, but what if?
You've got a bucket right there just in case.
Oh, come on.
do people throw up in your gym?
Yeah, all the time.
And that's from fighting?
Not just from fighting, but just from doing some of the workouts. Because, like I said, we really push people. You know, especially the fight training and stuff like that, you know.
Hey, which is, where in England are you from? You're
I'm from
Muay Thai champion,
yeah.
So where in England are you from?
I'm from a little place called King Standing in Birmingham.
And is that a scrappy place?
Yeah, it's a really scrappy place.
Hard
yeah.
Scrabble, would you call it?
Yeah, it's a pretty crappy little town.
Yeah?
Yeah, to be nice about it.
Well,
it's like an English ghetto.
So the way that
like.
I think a lot of Americans think like I do, that Britain is a very proper and polite place. But
I mean,
there are some pretty rough areas.
Well, if you're from my place, you'll get a proper punch in the eye. That's about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Jones, you encountered this when you went over to England? Like
I went to Manchester.
Well, that's on a par with where I'm from.
Yeah,
you know?
I went to a game, a Manchester United game.
Oh,
and I was walking to the game with my buddy.
Oh, awesome!
As we're walking there, you could just feel it,
the
like the atmosphere was palpable. Yeah. And as I was walking, I just turned to my friend. I'm like, "This is a city full of people that love to punch one another in the face." Like, you could just feel it. And they,
it's in the blood, man.
And the funny part was, like, Manchester United was, like, in second place. They were playing Reading. They were, like, in 19th place. They were in a good mood because they knew they were going to slaughter whoever. Uh-huh. And you could still feel there was this palpable fight tension.
Why
just
are they,
walking.
Why are they so angry?
The animosity. I don't know. It's just, it's not even that they're angry, they just they just back their team up to the hilt. You know
this is like a soccer hooliganism thing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's not even, no anger at all. It's just like, it's my team, I must support you. Like,
now, Robbie,
and they'll go through anything, yeah.
Huh.
Now, Robbie, do you feel, though, in just walking down your standard street in England or your standard street in America, which one of us just prefers, and I'm not talking about, like, real city murderous violence, but just a good squabble, Donnybrook, have a couple beers in the night out. Is it the English or is it the Americans?
I mean, you see, in England, We used to go out and have a beer, a few beers, and then we'd pick a fight, and then we'd have a curry, and then we'd get a cab home, and then we'd run away from the cab without paying. So that was like a good old-fashioned
night. That's what you do for fun.
Yeah. But over here, you just you get drunk, and then you go home, and that's it. there's no fight, and there's no cab running away from a cab.
So we're a softer
people. It's all Uber. The technology ruined it, I think. you can't run away from an Uber because you already paid.
Right, it's Uber's fault.
Blaming on Uber.
So you're saying that it's like a pastime over there. Here we go from 0 to 60. We go right from like everything's fine to shooting you.
Sure, yeah.
Unfortunately. All right, what's a better investment? Muay Thai training or a concealed carry permit? Which would you recommend?
Depends where you live, really. I mean, you know, I can't stop a bullet with one of my kicks, so, you know, I don't even want to try to do that. But the good thing about, see, you might have a gun, but can you use it, you know? With Muay Thai, it just gives you, or boxing, any kind of martial art, really, most martial arts, it just gives you a great confidence, and you're not so susceptible or vulnerable to any trouble. You really don't care, or you're not scared about it. So, and you give off like an awe, I guess. And people kind of leave you alone. They can kind of tell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, that's a different kind of confidence.
That's what I want. I want a little bit of that that strut in my step.
Yeah.
Like in Saturday Night Fever, when he was strutting at the end. I want a little bit of that. I think the Muay Thai might be for me.
Yeah.
I got to do the burpees test, though.
Yeah. I mean, you can go for years and years without even getting into a scuffle, you know, but you just know how to handle it. So that's the difference.
Yeah. Do you train children? Do you train families and
all
stuff?
All kinds, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have kids?
I don't.
Okay. No. And so what would be the youngest you might?
The youngest kid I train is 5, and the oldest is 75.
Really? You train someone who's 75 in Muay Thai?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Krav Maga. She does Krav Maga, too.
She does Krav Maga.
Yeah. I'm a Krav Maga Phase 2 instructor, too.
When did she start?
She started about 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah.
God, I would love to know what inspired that.
She could hardly walk is what inspired her. And she wanted to get up off a chair again without any help. So we helped her.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
She's amazing.
Well, that was one of my questions. So Krav Maga versus Muay Thai, and you're obviously a fan of both.
Yeah.
You're obviously a fan of self-defense, so I dig it. All right, so you're not saying skip the gym, though. You're a fan of gyms.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you're a fan of having personal instruction if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps you.
But I think we're on the same page that a lot of people give up on their fitness goals this time of the year because they don't see instant results.
Yeah.
And that's where or you hurt yourself right off the bat, and then you're like, I got to stay up my feet
too much
March.
Too soon.
Yeah,
you got to build yourself up. It's
I got rhabdo at the CrossFit, and I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, Robbie Cole, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. From Pow Gym Chicago.
Yes,
you rule.
Thank you.
I really
appreciate
it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. 720 WGN. We're in for Patty Vasquez. It's Jones and Mike. WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez. 312-981-7200. Jones, I'm stoked. I'm taking my kids to see a movie on Sunday. That's been the talk of the town. Filled with so much violence, though, that I have concerns. It's not Chirac. It is not Chirac. I can see the look in your eye.
No. I know where you're going. You're going for the Star Wars film, are you not?
We're going to the Bolingbrook iPick.
Oh, nice.
Which I guess is like leather seats. If you're a member, you can be a member of this theater.
I see. I didn't know you could be a member, but I've heard great things.
You reserve your seat online. This is not a commercial for them. This is just what I'm doing. So I'm bringing three of the four kids. The littlest one, you have seen this.
I have seen it.
Don't tell me how it ends.
I won't tell you how it ends.
You were going to.
No. But I'm going to slip in a couple spoilers. Why not, right? No. I'm telling you, I saw it last night. And just in terms of your children, you're good with the first three. Jack, it'd be too much for
the 4-year-old, this would be...
Oh, too much. There's no way you'd get through it.
Would he have some sort of an epileptic event? It would be too much for him to take in.
No, just the violence. The epilepsy isn't the thing that would worry me. Mm-hmm. It's just the violence and then people dying.
There's death.
There is. I don't think that's a spoiler alert, but it's death that Dominic will be fine with. Your 6-year-old will be good to go.
Well, Dominic, at around the age of like 5, he went through a Lord of the Rings era where he was in all
era?
Of those. Yeah.
It's called an era now.
Now I call it his Lord of the Rings era where he was all about it. And I would look at those movies and I don't know if I should be showing this to a 5-year-old. But he did great with it, and he's not really been all that violent.
Okay. Well, I'm not even talking about it's going to turn them violent, but sometimes some of that violence can, freak a kid out. Uh-huh. But I think Dom will be fine. But I'm telling you, so I saw this thing last night, and all of my friends have been saying it's incredible. It's the best movie that you've ever seen. In fact, one of the best comments I got from my friend was, she said, I wouldn't say... it's the greatest movie that I've ever seen. But in a weird way, it's the greatest movie I've ever seen. And I didn't get what she meant by that. And then about 2/3 of the way through the movie last night, I was like, what she said totally makes sense.
This is way better than Citizen Kane.
It is so good. It's one of the best movies you'll ever see. I'm telling you, it is that good.
Is it Avatar good? That's what everyone said about Avatar. It's so unbelievable, man. It's changing filmmaking. And I saw it. I was
No. It's, you know what? It's not about changing filmmaking. It's the pacing of it, the story of it. It's just so good. I mean, it's you sit through it and there's no, when you bring your kids, the morning of, you give them enough water to survive the day. That is it. Because there is no potty breaks in this movie. If you go on a potty...
Oh, I might have to catheterize my children?
No, just don't give them water. It's like a crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Dad. This was a great movie, but...
Yeah, my lips are chapped. You'll be fine.
Man, as you know, I'm a pain in the ass, frankly. Where like Seinfeld, I didn't watch when it was live or whatever. I watched it in reruns.
You're just a professional, unpaid contrarian.
Everyone liked Dave Matthews Band. I was like, bah, no Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing all these adults, grown adults, being like, it's amazing.
I'm telling you, I was walking out of the River East AMC with my sister.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop I even caught myself I was so buzzed and pumped up. I was dropping F-bombs. I was I couldn't. It was crazy. I don't even know.
Man.
It's just it is really truly that good.
And then this is going to spawn my children to want to buy all of this stuff.
All the toys, the everything. Good luck getting a Ray action figure, one of the main characters in the film.
Okay. Good luck getting it?
Good luck getting that. I saw a story today. Uh-huh. I saw a story today where... Now, she is... How do I... I don't want to, give a spoiler alert.
Yeah, don't do that.
I just...
Literally,
okay,
people are threatening people's lives. Over
right,
that.
Okay. Well, let's just put it this way. She's very, 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 very important to the story.
Okay.
So when they're selling all of these group action figures, you can get a set of six, or you can get the Millennium Falcon and get the action figures. She's included in none of this, which is impossible because it's almost like if you sold a Harry Potter action set and you didn't include Harry Potter or Hermione. She is central to the story without saying what she is.
Yeah, don't do it.
Darth Vader's niece. Kidding. No, I don't know.
So that's all. So the focus group kids, they let them play with all the toys and they just didn't gravitate toward that toy. That's all that is.
Yeah, but isn't it? That's the thing. Like, here's the thing. When I saw that that toy was, when I saw that the girl's toy wasn't selling, the girl action figure, I got it to, I got it because when I was a boy, when in our heyday, it was the Empire Strikes Back and the Return of the Jedi. We wouldn't have wanted the girl action figures.
We didn't
figures.
Want Princess we, honestly, Leia. We didn't.
No, we would have been like, but I don't want the girl toy. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't have wanted that. So I get it.
So long as I had enough of those little mini tables that came from the pizza boxes, I was good.
Yeah.
I needed those. And I always sat Princess Leia at one of those.
Okay. Well, that's very kind of you.
You sit at one of the pizza box holder-upper tables.
Right. Yeah, it's still, though, it's funny that how do you go forward promoting, and merchandising this movie? Mm-hmm. When you're not making available like one of the most central characters in the whole story.
Yeah, I don't think it's sexism. I think that just the focus groups didn't shake out the right way. That's it. And the boys didn't want to play with that one, that doll.
Now, would you say, would you say Dom, would there be any chance that your six-year-old
would want to play with the doll? If it came in a pack of six, he would be cool with it.
But would he choose it?
You know what I want him to choose? I want him to choose a guitar. The world needs more guitar players.
Okay. That's certainly different than a lightsaber.
Yeah, I don't want to buy any of that stuff. I don't want to buy the girl Ray doll. I don't want to buy any of the action figures. I want him to play guitar. We need more guitarists.
Okay.
Would you agree with this assessment?
I would agree. We need to get a little bit more musical. Perhaps we should...
Yeah, well, the all of the end of the year music lists are being announced, and frankly, I can't even listen to the radio anymore, the rock radio anymore. In this town, I can't even listen to it.
It's dead. It's over.
And that's what I'm afraid of. Rock and roll may in fact be dead. At least in Chicago, it feels like it. So coming up in just a minute here, we got my buddy Bruce Rave. Bruce Rave is one of the foremost experts in music, frankly, but he specializes in new music, independent music, alternative music. Bruce Rave will join us in just a couple of minutes. In for Patty Vasquez, it's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. I'm buying my kid a guitar for Christmas, Jones, and this guy is going to hopefully lead us through the gloaming on what he should be learning how to play. Bruce, you're on with Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. It's Bruce Rave.
Hey, Hello. Guys. You know, this is a lifetime dream come true for me, and the reason being I grew up in Chicago. I went to Oak Park River Forest, and... Huge, huge Cub fan, right? My dream was to be on WGN doing not TV but radio play-by-play for the Cubs.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. They're locked
90
up.
90 years.
Yeah.
90 years.
But maybe they'll be back, and you'll need a gig in a couple of years, Bruce.
Well, you know, they say never say never.
Especially when we're talking about the Cubs in this town, man. Never say never, right. So Bruce is one of the foremost experts in music. You're the A&R whiz. Does that make you blush, Bruce?
Well, I'll take it, man. You can call me a whiz. No, it's great. I was listening to what you guys were saying about rock before, and it's tough time. It's great times. It's the wild, wild west. It's also really difficult times. If you're talking about radio, it is brutal.
Yeah, let's set the scene now. So you were the A&R guy, artist and repertoire for Capitol Records back when.
Correct.
And you brought huge bands to that label and ostensibly to America. Is that understating it or overstating it?
Well, I that's probably true. I'd like to say I was in the right place at the right time. Hopefully I had some good ears, but if you'd like me to run down the list real quick, I was responsible for My Sharona. That was my first signing. That was the Knack. Other U.S. signings. I signed Weird Al to his first record deal.
Yeah, well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
You know.
Yeah.
Willie Peck.
You know. He had a song called My Bologna that was the takeoff on My Sharona. You know, and I had Missing Persons, The Motels. I was the original American A&R guy for Duran Duran, Iron Maiden, Thomas Dolby, The Church down in Australia.
And
I've stayed active. I am most excited by new music.
Yeah, right on. So, you know, you have, you know, this is the time of the year where everyone gives their top 10 lists. And by the way, Bruce's site for his raves, godeepmusic.net, godeepmusic.net. But before we get into, like, your favorite songs of 2015 and what people should probably check out, especially for guys like me who are, you know, in their 40s, if you listen to the radio in this town, and I don't know what it's like out in L.A., brother, but in this town, it's weak. It's weak. You think rock is dead. So I ask you, Bruce, is rock dead? The rock that Jones and I grew up with in the 80s and even into the 90s.
It's gone.
Is that rock gone forever?
It's coming back. It is slowly but surely coming back. Part of the problem with radio right now is that they're playing all of this really formula pop-oriented. It's called alternative, but it's really pop, and it's soft. And a lot of these bands on big labels are actually being teamed up with pop songwriters. And radio's always been all about the song, but what we're missing are a lot of the bands with edge that radio really used to get behind. Now, having said that, there are a few people that have emerged during the past year, which I think gives us hope. Even though the overall sound is still very, very bland, there are bands like, say, Royal Blood, Wolf Alice, both from the UK, that are exciting, and there's some other bands beginning to percolate. So I wouldn't say that rock is dead, and what we can hope is that the pendulum is going to swing back where more of these exciting bands get their way. There are program directors in the country that are saying, come on, what we're all supposed to be about is the Clash and Talking Heads. Let's find those bands. But then they turn around, of course, and they play these groups that sound like everybody else.
But do you see, though, Bruce, that's the thing that concerns me. I think everybody knows that they're supposed to say that. Music program directors know that they're supposed to say, hey, we're about breaking the bands. But even the bands that you mentioned, and I love Royal Blood. I saw them when they were in town over the summer. And heard them, I was telling, oh, they're fantastic live. They're phenomenal. I was telling Mike away, like, you've got to hear, this is the best debut album I've heard in years. They were phenomenal.
Yep.
Now, the bands that you had mentioned, though, are all from England. And I'm looking at the American rock scene, and I don't see any give. I'm looking among young people. I don't see that they're missing it. You're looking among music program directors and in people in the business. And they kind of play, they play to that notion that, you know, no, rock is coming back. We got to start breaking the bands, but the real edgy rock bands. But then when you hear what's coming out, it is absolutely, it's Justin Bieber with guitars. I genuinely, I'm not saying it to be sensational. I really don't see it coming back, because my fear is, and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, I don't see it being missed like I thought I would.
I think that's true. I think to a great extent people are conditioned by what they're hearing. I think it's out there. If you go to if there's the more classic bands, your Metallicas, your Iron Maidens, you know, those kinds of people can tour. Motley Crue, you know, I mean, all of that's a big deal. But there's a gap because people don't even know they're out there. I went to the gym the other day, and you know, it's Christmas. They don't have to wear their usual polo shirts. And the dude that was at the reception desk had a Metallica Enter Santa sweatshirt on.
Sweet.
So I started talking to him. I said, oh, that's great. And he's already got tickets for the Iron Maiden concert on April 15th. I said, so have you heard of Royal Blood? Mm-mm. No, dude, I've never heard of Royal Blood.
Yeah.
So these guys don't even know they're out there, and they would love Royal Blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if the radio plays them in Chicago, I don't hear it at all.
They don't.
So
They don't. Trust me.
An 847 texter to 312-981-7200 named these bands, Bruce. Give me up or down votes on these bands. Pop Evil, Hailstorm, Slash, 6 a.m. Slash, obviously not a band. Does that qualify as rock to you? Or some of the, obviously 6 a.m. has been around for years and years.
Yeah, yeah. And you said Slash?
Yeah, so obviously Slash, naming Slash, and I want to get your thoughts on the GNR reunion coming up, but Hailstorm and Pop Evil, up or down vote from Bruce Rave?
Oh, you know, I have to be completely honest. I don't know their music well enough to comment. You know, I'm alternative and indie. They're not on the radar of what I do.
Very diplomatic of you. That's why you're one of the best. That's why you're one of the best. So do you and Bruce Dickinson still hang out from Iron Maiden?
When we're not in regular touch. However, I go to the Iron Maiden shows and I chat with the guys there. A couple tours back, we were at the hotel. Bruce and I hung out for about an hour with a couple other guys that were part of their team. So, you know, it's random, but yes. I'm excited about their upcoming tour. I'm going to see if I can maybe hop on their 747, maybe from L.A. onto the next city or something
like
that.
That's right.
Wait,
Bruce will be flying it.
Oh, okay. He might want to rethink that one,
yeah.
Then. I don't know.
I would rethink that as well.
Well, he's calmed down since he had cancer, right?
He had cancer. He is recovered, and he's doing everything he's always done. He's back in action.
Well, Bruce, I have a question. You know, as Mike was hitting the angle of an up or down or yay or nay vote, I'm curious, mm-hmm. as you're looking at musical trends, and you know, I have a very negative look at it, thinking, okay, I don't see that it's being missed. One of the other things that I'm noticing as well is music festivals selling out before the bands have even been announced.
Yeah.
I personally take that as a down, because it just screams, well, it's about the event, it's not about the music.
Yeah.
So the new musical festival scene, in your view, Is that an up or a down, a yay or a nay?
Yeah, is that killing? Is that part of the problem?
I think it's part of the problem. You know, the upside is that people are there. You know, whether it's Lollapalooza, you know, you've got a bunch of them just in Chicago itself. You know, Coachella out here, and that's exactly right. You don't even have to announce the bands. It is such a rite of passage for people to go to these things and to party and hopefully meet people. Well, they're definitely going to meet people. You can't avoid that unless you just don't try. So it's almost like they're so into all that, the bands become secondary. So what we hope is that they might be walking by a stage and somebody will grab their attention, but it's not like they really know what they're getting. I think some of it, though, is probably good branding. If you take something like Lollapalooza in Grant Park that I've been to a couple times, you know, I think there's a certain trust. I think people feel like, okay, they're going to book a certain level of bands. Although I will say that over the course of a few years, you want to talk about rock. Have you noticed how these festivals don't book as many rock bands?
Yeah, yeah.
And you get a lot more pop-type people. You know, Glastonbury in England is huge. Lionel Richie was a headliner at Glastonbury this past year.
Makes me sick. Makes me sick.
It's not hating on Lionel, but
yeah, the original Hello. The original Hello was him.
The original Hello.
Not this imposter. Yeah. Bruce, can you hang out for a few more minutes? Obviously, I want to get your picks to click, what you thought were the best new tunes, at least in 2015. I want to hear about your thoughts on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, the people who have been omitted to date,
mm-hmm.
The GNR reunion, Coldplay at the Super Bowl. It's Bruce Rave, godeepmusic.net, and we're in for Patty Vasquez. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez is off for the night. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. If you want to ask some questions of the AR whiz, Bruce Rave, goatdeepmusic.net is your site. Bruce, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Is it a joke? Is it something you look at as real?
I think it started off being real. I'm glad it's in Cleveland. I think Cleveland was a great place for it. I don't think it's considered all that viable by most of the people I know within the music industry. And as much as I focus on new music, of course, I was around for a lot of these other bands. And you know, we all have our list of people that were snubbed that we think should probably be in there. We all scratch our heads at some of the new inductees. I think that's unavoidable. You know, I think most of the people for 2016, I think to me, or at least deserving on one level or another. But if NWA are going to get in there, well, you know, there's a whole list of people. You wonder, well, if NWA get in, what about some people who are just tremendous classic rock artists who haven't had a chance? And I think the general feeling is it's just so incredibly political that it has become a joke.
So the new class of folks going in, Cheap Trick, Chicago, NWA, Steve Miller, Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you're going to put Deep Purple as they were long overdue, which I want the rockers in.
Yes. Yeah. I think Deep Purple should definitely be in there.
And NWA, do you think that was influenced by the movie? Do you think that there was whipped up?
Boy, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, that movie is considered to be quite good. I'm not really a hip-hop guy, but I'm still probably going to see this movie because I hear from all corners it's great no matter what somebody's musical preferences are.
Yeah, and so we came back out of break there with Rush, an omission to date.
Mm-hmm.
Who else needs to be in next? Bruce Rave.
I would be, boy, oh boy. I was just thinking about a few because I knew you were going to mention it out. Journey certainly had a great run, and Don't Stop Believing has had a brand new life over the last few years. You know, maybe the Cars, Kraftwerk, who are now considered the godfathers of electronic music.
And a personal connection between you and them. You were a Kraftwerk guy when you were at Capitol Records, right?
I was. I did not sign them to the label, but when I got into A&R, I inherited them. I was responsible for them. And we knew they were special back then, but we had no idea, of course, that they would be so incredibly influential for a generation or two to come.
But would you feel that Kraftwerk, I mean, in terms of if you're looking at, like, say, an NWA and you're saying that's not really rock or that's not really in the genre, wouldn't you say that perhaps Kraftwerk goes down that same path of
it
not fitting,
argued.
Of not being the one-to-one fit that you would traditionally think?
Yeah, I think it could absolutely be argued that way. I think that the Hall over recent years has brought in some people that I thought were nowhere near rock. I think this group might be a little closer to rock than some of the others that have recently been inducted.
Fair enough. Now, Bruce, I do have a question. You know, in terms of your overview of music, I've always had this sense when I'm looking at the American rock scene. You know, Mike and I have talked about this at length so many times, just even at his place or hanging out at my place, having a beer, watching a game, all of a sudden the conversation will just kick up. I've always felt that when you're looking at that traditional rock band scene, that England has always been a stronger home, always been kind of a stronger fortress of that versus, say, the United States, where I really kind of feel in the United States, rock music was about the individual artist, a Jimi Hendrix, a Bob Dylan, a Bruce Springsteen, a John Cougar, where when you go through the English scene, you know the names, the Robert Plant or Roger Waters or what have you, but it's about the bands. It's about, you know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones.
They're team players over there, Jones.
Yes, they are team players over there. And I'm wondering, is there something about the band that really kind of makes for a stronger tie for people.
I think if we're talking about the cultures in different countries, I think it's definitely more that way in England. I think they grow up that way. I talk to a lot of current English artists who just go on and on and on and about how influential their dads were, and more so than what I hear from the U.S. artists. But I think what you're asking is not so much the culture, is it the band thing itself, right?
I would actually make the argument, like, if you go to list the great American bands, so many times people just instantly slip into listing off solo artists. And I'd make the argument that the only great era of American rock and roll, like rock bands, was in the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Grunge.
Mm-hmm.
And not just solely to grunge, but in the 90s. That was when you had bands. You had Nirvana. Mm-hmm. You had Smashing Pumpkins, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, whoever you wanted. You could go on and on and on with the list. That's the only era in American rock and roll where you can do that.
Yeah, you could add, if depending on taste, I suppose, but you could add the 80s hair bands out of L.A., which Motley Crue probably led that, but there were the bands that maybe were around for a little bit of time, you know, Warrant and Poison and bands like that that had had their 15 months of fame, let's say.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's
So there was some of that as well. But I think that's true. I think that one thing that we've seen, and maybe I'm curious what you guys think about this. I've had conversations with Brits, for example, who will say, you know, a part of the difference is that British people grow up playing originals in bands, where American bands traditionally, it might be different now, but traditionally American bands would grow up playing covers.
Mm. Yeah, and I was,
Mike.
I know, it's all I could do. I had this much talent, Jones. It was everything I could do 12-bar blues, like Zeppelin from their first couple of albums. That was it. That was all I was good for.
Did you ever write original material?
No.
Never.
Not talented enough. So I'm smelling what you're serving up there, Rave. It's Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez, and Bruce Rave is joining us graciously from, can I say, your stately manor in Los Angeles, Bruce?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
GoDeepMusic.net is where you can check out more about Bruce. Tell me about the show. You have a syndicated radio show that specializes in indie and alt music, right?
Right. It's up tempo. It's very melodic. I play some of the bands that we're talking about. It's all new. It's on four different stations. A couple stations out here around L.A. and a couple stations in Wisconsin, actually, in and near Madison.
Yeah, so you have Chicago ties, and you're a University of Wisconsin huge Badger backer.
Oh, absolutely. I love the Badgers, and I will be heading to the Holiday Bowl next week to see us play USC, which will be very interesting.
You're torn.
And
Your allegiances are torn. They're USC and Wisconsin.
Well, I got to tell you, USC was my second choice to go to college. So I do actually like them. But there's no being torn. I'm all Badgers.
You are all Badgers.
Got to be all Badgers.
So even in trying to get stations to air your show, do you sense that it's an uphill battle with the highly researched radio industry?
Yes.
Do they give you pushback? Nobody wants to hear this music that you're playing out of Great Britain.
Well, you know, that's very true. I think that they're the ratings things right now, it shows that people are so quick to turn the station, and it's just they're terrified of new music. And we were talking about Motley Crue before. Nikki Sixx has a syndicated show. Stations may give him a chance because he's Nikki Sixx.
Yeah, it's
where
free.
I may have a nice resume, but I haven't made records, and I was never a rock star. And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to good radio and great music. It's not so much who the host is. But there are a lot of radio stations who really believe, okay, we got to put rock stars on the air. That's what we're all about. Apple Music. That's what they're doing with their guest personalities. They're all people who made records and who are known to the average listener. And I think, you know, it's brutal, and I see it in two different ways. I manage a band called Trapdoor Social, which have actually gotten excellent airplay in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The Chicago radio climate was a little more liberal a couple of years ago than it is now. And, you know, you get stations becoming part of big corporations that they have to answer to, and they have to be pretty conservative. And that's a big problem with radio right now. Mike, you know that extremely well. You know that whole deal.
Yeah, I do.
Jones, probably you too. And, you know, I can tell you, the last week that stations were available to play new music, which I guess would have been a week ago now, because now we're into the holidays, we have two alternative rock stations in L.A. We have no active rock, which means harder rock. We have none of those. We have two alternative rock stations in L.A. You know how many new records the two of them added combined? Zero.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, zero.
Well,
And that's how hard it is to get your record played, unless, of course, you are an automatic. Cage the Elephant just came out with a new song. Everybody jumped on it. It's a good song, by the way. And you also really need to be on a significant label
if you
want airplay.
I wonder, though, I have another thought where I've kicked around a number of ideas of why this is the case. And another idea that I've been kicking around, and I don't know how much of a music historian you are, Bruce, you know, outside of rock. I would not lay claim myself that I'm a music historian. But if you look at jazz, which used to be the dominant musical force in this country, it had about a 60-year run where it was really growing from, you know, say New Orleans and then up through Chicago and into New York, and then kind of took around, you know, it went through its different styles, its different phases. And it went about 60 years, and then all of a sudden Elvis hit and the Beatles landed, and then rock music took over. And now I kind of have started to almost create this idea, has rock gone through its cycle? Much like jazz that had, I would argue, a 60-year cycle, we're really almost past the point of the rock 60-year cycle. Have you ever thought of that?
That's really deep. Roll a doobie and get back to us on that one, Bruce.
Oh God, that's what a depressing thought, isn't it?
No, you don't think that. You think rock is coming back, and it's being squashed by the radio industry.
I do think it's being squashed by the radio industry. I do believe in the swinging pendulum, and you know, things kind of come and go. Grunge had its time. You know, it needs its Smells Like Teen Spirit, right? It needs something that is absolutely going to electrify everybody. And I got to tell you, when Royal Blood, when that album debuted in England at number one, that was huge news, because they had gone through a drought probably even worse than ours in terms of rock. And
see, that would surprise me. I wouldn't think that.
Yeah.
I think of the English rock scene as being more vibrant. Like even in the time preceding Royal Blood, England had at least cranked out that was big in their country, maybe not over here, but they at least had their moments of, say, the Arctic Monkeys, Kasabian, the Libertines, during a time when we didn't even have that. I mean,
well, that was all last decade.
But they all
broke last decade. Amazing bands. I love all those bands.
So it's just, you know, I even look at that when you're saying that England's going through a barren time. I just think like, wow, that's one of the last bastions.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going on in England right now, and you see it in America, too. A lot of the bands over there, everybody sees how dominant Top 40 radio has become. And what they're doing is going more in that direction. Kasabian aren't. I had a great chat with those guys. It's an interview on my website if anybody wants to hit it up. You know, they do what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are a lot of bands that I think have been some of the really exciting people coming out of England, like, say, the Wombats, if you guys are into the Wombats. And they've got kind of a minor alternative radio hit right now. But they've decided they're a pop band. And, you know, they aren't doing that really edgy stuff. They had a couple of those songs on the new album, but they weren't released as singles, because what they're really going for is pop. And I think that's part of it. And those are radio decisions that are being made at the expense of creativity.
It's Bruce Rave on with Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. We're in for Patty Vasquez. Bruce, on Christmas morning, are you a Christmas or a Hanukkah guy, Bruce?
Well, you know, would you believe it? I don't want to sound like a Scrooge, but I'm kind of neither at this point.
You're agnostic to
them. No, actually, let me go the other direction. I celebrate all of them. I grew up Jewish. I am Jewish, but I celebrate anything I possibly can.
Yeah, right
I
on.
I like that.
I love a typical LA response.
I've never wondered why we pick them.
Yeah.
Go with both.
Yeah, right on, man. Everything. So on Christmas morning, when I get my iTunes gift card, I don't really dread, but I bet some people are like, great, what am I going to do with that? I already got the Milky Chance and the 21 Pilots album. What else is there? Give me your top 10 list that people can check out, by the way, at godeepmusic.net. Give me the raves for 2015, the new music people could dig into.
If I were going to give you 10 albums for this year, I would say, and I think it's really hard to rank albums, but let me give you 10. Tame Impala. A lot of people love Tame Impala out of Australia. I think that's Wolf Alice we talked about. I really liked FFS. That's the collaboration of Franz Ferdinand and Sparks. It's very quirky, just a whole lot of fun. If anybody likes either band, they're probably going to like that album a lot.
See, I went to check that out. I love Franz Ferdinand. I just found Sparks so weird. So weird.
Yeah. I was a fan of Sparks, I have to say. And they actually had an album out, it's probably 8 or 10 years ago that I really liked. Although you think of them as a very weird 70s band. I saw their show together. It was a lot of fun, but I think you have to like what they do. And so it was up my alley. A rock band that I really, really like, and here's another English band. They're managed by the Arctic Monkeys people. They're called the Bohicas, Bohicas. And that was a very good album. I saw them play when I was in England in May. They are excellent. They've been wanting to get over to the United States. Obviously, very, very experienced management who I spoke with when I was over in England. They're really going to take their time with this band. But I think that that's something that rock people can really enjoy. Another English band that I like a lot that had a good album, their new one should be out any time, Catfish and the Bottlemen, who have had some good radio success in America, great success in England. An Evanston guy, he's living in the Bay Area right now, Ezra Furman, very good album that came out this year. Now these are alternatives. Some rock harder than others. Courtney Barnett, great album, great
lyrics. You love her.
Yeah, she's got a Nirvana type guitar style, but lyrics that just come out of nowhere. I mean, she's great. On the softer side, Death Cab for Cutie's album was surprisingly good. Modest Mouse, Belle and Sebastian. And you know who had a great album earlier this year? I'm giving you 11 or 12, I suppose. But Slater Kinney came back with a great album that came out at the end of January. And that one rocked pretty well.
Well, now, the other, I noticed when Mike had sent me your list earlier, you'd also noted the Libertines, that you had put them as, you know, their anthems for doomed youth, anthems for the doomed youth. Why do you think, and they never really tour over here, why are English artists and maybe the people who promote them so careful about coming over to the States when it seems at the time no one's buying music, so you really just have to hit the road and grind it out anyway?
Well, there's a very definite two-part answer when it comes to the Libertines. I'll start generally. It's the money that's involved. A lot of times these bands are already doing very well in England, and they're starting to really do well in Europe, and they're saying, hey, you know, we can go over touring Europe's like touring America, except we can be hitting all these countries. And so they see that as the lower-hanging fruit, where if they're going to come to America, they really have to come. They can't just come and do L.A., Chicago, New York and say that they've done America. They've got to go to Milwaukee. They got to go to Madison. They got to, you know, go to Des Moines, right? They have to hit all these different markets and spend 2 months or more over here, and it's very, very expensive. And those first few times over here, they're probably not going to profit from it. So they need very, very strong backing. The deal with the Libertines, and that I think that whole Anthems for Doomed Youth album is an excellent album, by the way. And it's great to have them back. The reason they can't get over here, and I was talking to their label about this not too long ago, they can't get over here because their leader, Pete Doherty, has a whole series of drug arrests. You remember how Lennon couldn't get into the States?
Yes.
Same deal with the Libertines.
That communist.
They cannot. Oh, God, yeah. The Libertines cannot get visas.
So it's really Pete Doherty that's preventing it.
Hmm.
His past. Interesting.
Well, his past, yes.
In that specific case, yes.
I had never thought
of that. That visa program, we got to do something about that one of these days. It seems like it's not working out.
Yeah, that's interesting because I had always thought, like, why weren't they even coming over for festivals? That just seems like an easy hit, but that makes...
They have... Saturday Night Live is dying for them. And Coachella, I understand, has offered them a ton of money. If they would come over and play. It's another late night TV. I mean, they could come over here and crush it.
So you would think someone would be able to work that out.
Another minute left with Bruce Rave. It's Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN's rapid fire here. Bruce, a texter in 847 wants to know, will Warren Zevon and Frank Zappa make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Ooh, wow. I'd say Frank's probably got a better chance. You know, there would be both of them in a posthumous situation. I don't know if Warren would. Great talent, though.
Bon Jovi.
Wow. Wow. If he hasn't
by now,
I don't think he will.
No.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will.
The Smiths.
They should. I don't think they're gonna, but they should.
Janet Jackson.
I'd say no.
Nine Inch Nails.
Closer.
Coyote Love.
No pun intended. Closer. I'd say probably not. I mean, I'm trying to read the minds of these people who make these decisions.
All right, name one band that will get into the class of 2030. So a new band, someone new. That will be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, inductee in 2030.
Okay, well, I think Muse are getting in for sure, but they'll probably get in before 2030. So we need somebody. Holy cow!
Yeah, I kind of
I should have given you an answer on this one.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm just springing it on you. That's because you're a Midwestern guy. I know you're not one of those little Fabergé eggs out in L.A. You're a grounded, holistic person. From Chicago.
Yeah. I'll tell you who's got a shot. I think there's incredible. Van from Catfish and the Bottlemen is an incredible talent. And I've seen him do some things besides that album that are pretty amazing. And I'm real excited about their new album, which I hear is more in the vein of Oasis. And but you know, in a very modern way, and we'll see. If I'm going to give you one, I guess I'll just throw that one out.
Bruce, you're the best, man. Happy
yes,
holidays,
thank you.
Whatever holiday you are celebrating. We love you. GoDeepMusic.net. check out Bruce Rave's raves over there, and Jones and Mike in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. See you, Bruce.
See ya. Happy holidays.
WGN, Patty Vasquez has the night off. It's Jones and Mike in her stead. Very regal way of putting it. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Jones, I'm sad and I'm happy. I'm full of mixed emotions about the end of the holiday season, Jones.
Was it a good holiday season?
Well, yeah, and certainly it's not over with. But this is a time of great peril. And if you have any, if you're going to lose your job after the first of the year because of something you did at the holiday office party, I'd like to hear your story. And maybe we can coach you through it at 312-981-7200. This time of the year, I never know what to get anyone. And years ago, I had a job at a radio station across town. And my wife was like, oh, I picked up some things for your boss. I had two bosses at the time. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, great. All right. It was a Hickory Farms cheese and sausage set, which I love those. Love them. And about June following that year, one boss thanked me, one boss didn't say anything. About June of that year, I saw like my cheese and sausage set in the radio station like fridge. And I went,
That's a little cold, huh?
Yeah. And I went back in and I'm like, yeah, some bish. What are you doing with my cheese and sausage set? And the guy that was working before me was like, You gave him a cheese and sausage set for Christmas? He's Jewish. He's Jewish, man. So, I never know what the hell to do this time of the year.
I'm almost in that same role myself. Although, so I bought my boss and his wife gifts for Christmas. And I held on to them with the anticipation that they were supposed to be in this week. And then a family member, a member of their family took ill. And they never made it in all week. And now I'm in this awkward phase because the priority was their family and them not coming in. But now I have this gift that I'm going to be giving to them on the 28th. But I didn't want to in that moment look like Costanza trying to be seen putting the money into the tip jar. So I didn't want to say like, oh, I hope everything's praying for you guys. Hope everything gets better. Yeah. By the way, your gifts will be waiting here when you come back because then I'm magically making it about me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I know this time of the year is supposed to be about family and you're doing that. But here's more of me. Look what I did for you.
But about that book on Italian American history that I bought you, Ron. It will be waiting for you.
Oh,
gift
he's
going
to love that.
And just know that I bought it in advance of the 25th.
But if nothing else, it just looks like, kind of a hit or miss thing. You didn't do anything that's going to lead to your dismissal.
No, not to my dismissal, but at the same time, if you get, you get a gift or they take out for dinner or there's that bonus check or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you return the Christmas gift. You return serve with a Christmas gift on the 28th. Don't look so good.
You get a bonus check?
Sometimes.
It's very 1998 of your company. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I got hammered at a holiday party once. Another radio station. I'm just not good at it. I'm glad I wasn't invited to the WGN Christmas party. Although they took a beautiful Christmas or holiday themed picture that I saw on Facebook today. So we didn't make it in. Maybe we could Photoshop ourselves in.
I think it's best that we're not there.
I got hammered, and it was actually like the holiday party also doubled as the going away party for this muckety muck boss of ours that was going out to New York for some highfalutin job. And I was like 23, and I'm just, three sheets to the wind at the holiday party. And this guy who like ended up running like ABC is like, he's looking at me like, who hired this loser? You're fired. You fire him. And then you're fired yourself.
Yeah, how did you let that happen? It just seems so cliche. It's one of those things like when you hear that someone got involved with heroin and you think, how? That's just the bad one that you know to stay away from.
Yeah, that's
like heroin and getting drunk at the company party.
Especially when you're like lowest boy on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did you even let that happen?
It was a mistake. It's why I'm working at 1:12 in the morning at the age of 41. I've made mistakes.
What did I do then? Because I didn't do that, and I'm working right alongside you.
Are you getting fired on January 4th for something that you've done this week? 312-981-7200. Maybe we could leave a voicemail on your behalf.
Oh, that'd be good.
Or Jones, you take that present that isn't going to look, it's going to look tacky on the 28th for your boss. Give it to this person. They can give it to their boss.
That's a possibility.
Are there any things that you're grateful for this holiday season coming to an end? You know, anything on your list?
To be honest with you, I love the holiday season. I love the music. I love the lights. I love the presents. I'm strangely in love with Christmas. I really kind of go. I'm not one of these like guys who string up the lights and go crazy in that way, but I just love the general atmosphere of it all.
And I childless, love it. I mean, really, for a single man.
Yes, it's
Gold
odd.
Coast living man.
Yes.
It is strange.
Single, no kids. And I love Christmas more than most people who would be in that situation where they're living through their child. So I don't really look for the, I don't look forward to the end of the holiday season. What I do look forward though to is the, when the end of the year comes up, I kind of think in terms of trends or things that may be popular for this year that may go away that have just worn out their welcome, you know? So there are certain things, millennials and the like saying ratchet. Looking forward to the end of that.
That boss's gift you're giving on the 28th, that's so ratchet.
Oh, my God.
Are you, so man buns?
Man buns?
Yeah.
Man buns. I'm looking forward to an end. I'm looking forward to that end. I'm looking forward to the end of millennials saying ratchet. I'm looking forward to and hoping and praying, though I don't think my prayers will be answered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the end of the Jennifer Lawrence era.
The end of the Jennifer Lawrence era?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you got against Jennifer Lawrence? Who could hate that lovely woman?
I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. She drives me absolutely bonkers.
Well, clearly there's more to this.
There is more to this. I have a theory behind this as well as to why she bothers me. Because there are other Jennifer Lawrences out there that don't go by the name of Jennifer Lawrence.
That's true. You should probably say which one you're talking about. All right. Patty Vasquez has the night off. It's Jones and Mike in for her on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez has the night off. Much deserved break. It's Jones and Mike's. We're in 720 WGN. A texter in the 630 area code, Jones, wants to know why you're giving your boss a gift. They write, the boss makes a lot more money. They have no idea. They know you, baby. At work, gifts should come from the top down.
They do, but you know, I work at a smaller family-owned business. So it just kind of feels, it would feel strange that someone who you see, I mean, it's kind of a tight-knit group where we work, and it would just feel odd that I wouldn't be giving something directly that I'd give something back. If it was one of those things where, let's say you're here at GN and there's a programming department, a sales department, and the general manager of sales, and they're all down these different wings, different floors.
Right. Air traffic control here, they have their own landing strip here.
Right.
Ridiculous amount of bureaucracy here.
You could kind of hide it. No, you could kind of hide out a little bit.
Yeah, you're like 20% of the company.
Yeah,
the rest are women, right?
Yeah, yeah. And once one person breaks, then everybody's got to break. So clearly I'm giving from the heart, obviously.
Somebody broke ranks. No, don't break ranks.
I know. And then, see, once that happens, everybody else looks at everybody else going, what'd you do? Well, what'd you do? How much? Well, what was it? Well, how much? Well, if I was going to do that, then because I'm banking that they're napping pretty hard right now. So this is why I'm talking this way. But originally, we were all going to go in on one gift. Then one of the girls broke and got an individual gift. And she's like, well, I didn't hear what we were doing on the group gift, so I did the individual gift.
Yeah.
And then one of the other girls was like, well, I got the group gift. You can get in on my gift. And I was like, well, no, I can't do that, especially being the guy, because it will look like I didn't think to do it, and I'm just putting my name on someone else's gift.
So you're going to show them you're going to give your gift on the 28th of December.
Oh, God. I didn't mean for it to work out like that.
Why do you have this axe to grind against Jennifer Lawrence, of all people?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, as we were talking about just a few moments ago, we're looking for trends to come to an end. People are looking to start things in 2016. People are looking to end things and leave them in 2015. I gave my list. Among that list, it's so wishful thinking to think that the Jennifer Lawrence era would come to an end. But I'm just hoping and praying. I know I'm pretty alone on this island because she's really put a lot of work into becoming the next lovable star. She's the girl that she's just like us. She's so down to earth.
Yeah, she's like the chick from Pretty Woman.
Julia Roberts. Yes. She is. She looks as though she's on par to be the next Julia Roberts.
That's how far Julia Roberts has fallen. I don't even know her name anymore.
Well,
why America needs Jennifer Lawrence. But
here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Here's what drives me nuts about her. And I've noticed this trend even in my line of work. And even in my life's journey, I think this is something that is embodied in Jennifer Lawrence.
There's a Jennifer Lawrence effect.
There's a Jennifer Lawrence effect. It's among many individuals. Here's my theory, and I think Jennifer Lawrence is somewhat trying to work her way through this.
We'll blame her for this.
So my theory is this. Really attractive people.
And it's
both sexes, but more heavily on women. Really attractive women, they don't completely develop certain aspects of their personality.
This is what you do. You got to lob this Molotov cocktail. I'm out of here in 38 minutes, and we just can't have a soft landing.
Because they don't develop their personalities completely because they don't have to. They go through life and everything is easy for them, at least through the first third. Everything comes easy for them.
The first 30 years of their life, they don't have to earn it. 312-981-7200.
That's my theory. Now,
okay.
With Jennifer
Jones
Lawrence...
Jones psychology. This is embodied... In Jennifer Lawrence, you believe she has not really earned anything. She's just a pretty face.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about her as a person. I don't care about her as an actress. I'm sure she's great. I don't think I've ever seen anything she's in. But she's. I can accept that people will say she's great at what she does. But when I see her off screen, first of all, the whole thing, every year... That woman is falling on her face at an award show.
Really?
In a dress.
She's like the Gerald Ford of actresses.
But I believe that's intentional. I believe that is intentional.
Boy, this is really a deep-seated hatred.
And then earlier this year...
She's fooling you, America!
Well, no, I think that's her thing. I think she knows if I'm going to be the Julia Roberts, I have to figure out how to relate to all these other people in flyover country. Mm-hmm. So her... In her mind, she thinks the average citizen is continually committing the boobish behavior, tipping over, falling over. This is the way that I humble myself, by continually falling and then just looking into the camera like, I just can never get it right. I'm like everybody else. You know, and then... There was that story a couple weeks ago where she made some comment. She was going out and she was talking to, I was at this restaurant and I saw Francis Ford Coppola on the other side of the room. And I walked across the room and we had a wonderful conversation and I walked back. I saw that my underwear was poking out of the top of my pants and I couldn't believe I was so humiliated.
I was just about to give her kudos for knowing who Francis Ford Coppola was. Or is.
Well, she's in the business.
Well, no way. No way. But this goes beyond.
What do you mean, no way?
No
she's
way.
Working on major...
There's no way that any of these young starlets know who
if you're in the Oscar,
is.
Oh,
no
if you're
way.
In the Oscar picture,
but
you know what
that,
a Coppola is.
708, can't believe you haven't seen Hunger Games. And I was going to call
I
you
read
out
the
on
books.
The same thing.
I read the books.
No. Hoi, hoi, hoi. All right, but this goes well beyond Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, absolutely.
She
absolutely.
Embodies what you see on a daily basis.
I wouldn't say daily. I would say weekly, where I have seen people, and in my line of work, I work in the human resources industry. So I'm meeting people constantly that are looking for employment opportunities, looking to leave their employer, looking to jump to another opportunity.
Can you get me a gig?
No, I've tried. But I've noticed it's something with people who are extremely attractive, they don't know how to fully interact with other individuals. And what I mean by that is they don't know. You and I know that we just can't go through and steamroll whoever we want to get whatever we want. We have to sit there and play the game. There has to be a give and take. I've noticed that among extremely attractive people, they've never developed that give and take aspect of their personality.
The quid pro quo.
So, yes. So, inevitably, we all get taken down a peg and we find ourselves in that position. But if you haven't developed that skill, you really suffer. I think specifically of... I think specifically of someone that I knew, and I actually was introduced to them through a friend. This was like one of my friends from back in the day. This was one of my friend's sisters. And they said, they're looking for an opportunity. You should meet with them. I met with them. It was a woman. She was beautiful, very articulate, a return to work mom. I set her up on an opportunity to go out
nice.
With a company, go out and interview with a company. It was a great opportunity, and she no-showed on the interview.
Which has to be super common.
It's not super common.
Really?
But it happens. It's not super common, but it happens. Okay. Now, a lot of times, you know, people will tell you, they'll kind of show themselves for, you know, why they didn't make it. But every once in a while, you hit on someone, and it's always the super attractive person that just picks up the phone and goes, you know what? I thought about it, and I just felt this wasn't the right opportunity for me, and that's it. And then they just hang up the phone. And they don't have to give you an answer, and they're not concerned that they put you out in any way. This person in particular then wound up calling me back weeks later and said, you know, I think I made a mistake there. I would like – is that opportunity still open? I'd like to interview for it. And
you were smitten by her beauty.
No.
And you said, anything you'd like, madam?
No, but I just, that's part of my point is that you and I would be in that same position if we're like, man, we blew off that interview. Well, I can't call that person back. That bridge is burned.
Yeah, yeah.
This person has not developed that sensibility to understand, oh, wait a minute, I burned a bridge there. Oh, wait a minute, major corporations don't just hold up their employment schedules for me.
You're not that hot. You don't think that it's just there's a general lack of civility among some people. You think you've identified that it is the beautiful people among us.
Well, no, there is. I'm not saying that there's not a lack of civility, that ugly people don't have to bear the brunt of some unpleasant behavior. But what I've noticed is...
Present company included.
Yes. What I've noticed is among extremely attractive people, there's a sense, there is not that quid pro quo. There is this sense of bulletproofness. That prevents they feel entitled. They don't have to feel that they have to develop that give and take muscle, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 815 texter writes, you're making an idiot out of yourself. Stop talking now.
Oh, wow, that was pretty harsh.
P.S. You're ugly. It's all
there's
right
no
here.
Way
it says,
that's,
it's,
not,
it says
that's
that.
Not real
it says,
that is not it real
it totally says that
I believed it, and then they tagged it with shark sandwich. No, I don't believe that. Until you take someone saying that I'm making an idiot out of myself, I can believe that.
Yeah, it was probably a relative. So I would prefer to hear you call him an idiot to his virtual face, 312-981-7200. The beautiful Patty Vasquez is off. Jones and Mike are in here on 720 WGN. And we'd like to help you keep your job. If you have a holiday horror story, please fill us in. We'll try to help you out in any way at 312-981-7200. This is... Outside of what you just got done doing, this is the most ridiculous thing I've heard all night, Jones.
What is this?
This is Chewbacca.
Chewbacca
doing Silent Night. But 773 texter writes, Jennifer Lawrence won an Oscar based off of her talent. Jones has a face for radio. The struggle is real. Oh, he signed it. It's Monty writes that.
Monty, God.
Yeah. Patty Vasquez has a night off.
Why so angry,
Monty? It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. And, I don't think that it's going over well. It's going over like a lead balloon, frankly, this whole idea that people... Jennifer Lawrence is visiting children's hospitals, I'm being told.
Oh, come on. That's
and you're putting her beautiful face on what you call an epidemic of rudeness, frankly.
Oh, come on. Jake Cutler goes to children's hospitals.
So? He's a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
You probably have a bone to pick with him, too.
Yeah, you really... Now you're just trying to curry favor with people who are listening. You, Mike Noonan, you think Jake Cutler's a wonderful person? I've known you since 14... You were 14 years old. Now you are going to try to convince me you think Jake Cutler's a wonderful person.
I do. I agree. I agree with...
I know you don't.
Listening in Louisville.
You're just a jerk.
See, I said it right.
Such
just to curry favor with
jerk.
This... That has to be a woman. All right. 312-981-7200. I prefer that you tell Jones that he's an idiot to his face. So if you're grateful that that beautiful people, or you're hopeful they will start to get a comeuppance and an upgrade in their respect for us commoners in 2016, I am grateful that the Christmas season is over or nearing an end, because as a father of four with only one, and if you have children listening right now that are of Santa believing age, turn us off for just a few minutes. I have a tough time this time of the year because I'm waiting for some guy on the radio, like I just almost did, ruining the Santa experience for my children. I have three believers. I have four believers. Well, my wife makes four believers. I have three Santa believers in my house. And this time of the year, I'm on eggshells waiting for someone to ruin it. Preferably the one that knows, the oldest one, the 13-year-old.
I was always worried about it, but you're saying she's done, you see, I'm getting the sense that she's done well?
No, she's been rad about it.
Okay, good,
and
good.
This is the last Christmas for the 10-year-old.
Now, why is it the last Christmas for the 10-year-old? Because you're expecting that it's the last Christmas for the 10-year-old? She's catching on, or are you going to...
Yeah, no.
Break it down.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably wait until, you know, into January sometime. But it has to be done, because the oldest one, we didn't have that talk and it didn't go over well. She got ridiculed in school. She came home and she was like, boys are making fun of me than I believe. And you wouldn't lie to me, Mom and Dad. And we were kind of like, sorry. And that felt so horrible. I don't want any other children to go through that. So the 10-year-old has to find out. And, you know, Mashable.com had a story that really sealed the deal. Not that I was thinking about keeping it going for another year. An 11-year-old needs to know. But Mashable.com had a story about a Maryland mom named Nikki Adams and her husband who told their daughter Belle about Santa. And the 10-year-old was positively livid, it says here. Oh, they posted it, and I do this. I post stuff that my kids write to my Facebook page. Well, Mashable picked this one up. Once you put it out on Facebook,
oh, yeah.
You press post, it's public.
Be careful when you do the sharing thing.
Yeah. Yeah, in this situation, it worked out. I guess they're getting some level of notoriety, but they put the photo of the note that their 10-year-old, Belle, wrote them. And so here's what they wrote. The mom wrote, "The time has finally come. Belle asked point blank about Santa, and she's been asking every day. So we were truthful, and she may never speak to us again, especially when we lost our ever-loving blank at the pictures on the right that she slid under our door. Hashtag don't laugh." So here's what Belle wrote.
I love these. I love these because I can anticipate, because your oldest would always write these types of letters, and they're hilarious.
Especially in a 10-year-old's, you know, kind
of
jaggedy crayon pencil. "You have no idea what you just did. I really tried to believe. Everyone told me, it's your parents. I can't believe you anymore. Is the Easter Bunny real? How about the Tooth Fairy, huh? You just ruined a 10-year-old child's life." Capital life.
Oh, my God.
"Thanks. Nothing will make me feel better. You lied to me about something I loved. That broke my heart." Then Bell included a drawing of a hand giving the middle finger, as well as the hashtag middle finger emoji.
Oh, which, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
I know that sealed it, dude. I don't want to wake up to any middle finger emojis.
Well, it's funny because I remember when you told me last year about Elise, it was what that girl wrote is almost the exact same to what she had said.
Yeah, because every kid feels betrayed, absolutely betrayed.
See, I never went through that. I figured it out, and then I kept my mouth shut, in part because I had a sister who was 3.5 years younger than me. But then I was like, look, I got a gravy train here. Like, family gifts were handed out on the 24th, but if I don't deny the big red guy, something's coming on the 25th. I'm just going to shut up. And I never, I was 31 years of age when I lost both my parents. Never came clean on it. It was just something. Now, eventually the gravy train did come to a close, but it was just like this unsaid thing because I didn't want to be like this 27-year-old dude like, I know why you're not giving me presents on 25th because Santa Claus. Like, I didn't want to come clean about it then.
And you were not living at home at the time. It wasn't like they were trying to just get you to leave.
No. It was just like, okay, whatever. But I always remember, so I never had that moment. You know, like Elise had, but I will always remember a couple years after I really kind of figured it out, but kept my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. I was with one of the older neighbor kids, just went to drive to the mall to get something, and I just wanted to get out of the house. I'm like, yeah, I'll go with you wherever. And as we were driving back from the mall, up next to us happened to pull up my mom, and in the passenger seat was my sister. And we're waving back and forth. You know, you get excited like that. And then all of it, like the light changed really quickly. And as they sped through the light, my sister like finally got the window down. And she's like, I know the truth about Santa!
Oh, God, geez.
She was so proud.
Good for her.
So proud. Like, it was a moment where she was cool with it.
So your mom died knowing, my daughter is smart, but my son, not so much.
I always sensed he was a boob.
Yes.
I was right.
Man. I want one of my, because my kids send me hate letters all the time like this. They're very similar to the texts that we're getting right now at 312-981-7200.
They're still not mad about Jennifer Lawrence, are they?
When you play Bobby Riggs to people's, you know, Billie Jean King, they don't like it.
Which is crazy. That's so unfair to me. I am not the Bobby Riggs. Like, I am like...
You're including both sexes, too.
Yeah.
Can you help me break the news to the 10-year-old?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do I do this in a way where I can come out of this without shrapnel?
I think you're home for just knowing... Your 10-year-old, I think you're pretty home free. And she's the
type. Maybe she'll just put her hand on my knee and say, Dad, it's okay.
Yeah, I think if you have another reckoning coming your way, I say it's my godson. I think the Dominator's going to get upset.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've got a few years to plan on that.
Yes,
so that's good.
Now, who knows? I could be wrong. Grace could flip, but I have a feeling. I think she's going to be okay with it.
She's a crier, so I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah, you know what, though? She has, for her age, she has a level of, there's like this humor to, it's her sense of humor that kind of belies this older mentality, this wiser mentality. I think she's onto it.
And I think she's going to be a beautiful person. So you and her may actually come to loggerheads at some point in the future.
No, because she's a wonderfully polite person, very well-mannered. Surprisingly, coming from you.
In for Patty Vasquez, it's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. It's 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Mashable.com picks up your Facebook posts. If you post a picture, a website like Mashable could publicize it. Have you ever considered, Jones, that some of your Facebook friends are undercover federal agents?
Never, ever.
Do you know all of these people?
No, I don't. True.
Maybe that should be a goal for 2016. I'm meeting everybody on my list.
No, I know that. Dude, I had a paranormal reality television show. That's how I got a number of these friends, just connecting to me based on that. I don't need to meet everybody.
Higherperspectives.com. And that's not a drug reference. I think it's like a spirituality reference. They write that law enforcement agents are now making their way into social media, covertly spying on users with the intent of gathering information, according to an internal Justice Department document. Have you received a friend request from someone you don't know that might be someone you met at a party once, or could be an FBI agent?
This is right up your alley.
Posing as someone else.
This is completely you.
The document was obtained, by the way, according to this website, higherperspectives.com. This isn't me just making this up, because that is my want, to make up this tinfoil hat stuff. The document was obtained in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit and made it clear that FBI agents are logging into Facebook and exchanging messages with suspects, identifying the friends and family of suspects, and they browse personal photographs, videos, and posts. Do you believe that? I don't believe that for a second.
No, I do not.
I don't believe that at all. I have a feeling that I'm on a list. I have a feeling you're going to be on a list as well.
And what list would that be?
The guy who hates beautiful people list. No, you know what I mean. I've accepted. So every now and then, people pop up, and they'll know someone I know. So I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. He knows this guy that I really don't know. So now I'm like three circles away from people I know.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but I do it anyway. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You want to read my weird stuff? Go ahead.
Well, maybe that's because we're veering into that land of the devices reading your mind.
Yes.
Which I know you're all about. I love this, yes. By the way.
Yeah, well. Okay.
Your madness. And it's not that mad anymore.
It does.
Used to think you were completely crazy.
Well,
complete tinfoil hat land.
And it's in the terms of service that your device is listening to you. So it's picking up on your keywords, and then it's playing, you know, a song that has to do with something you just said a little while later. That and we all know that just is happening. But now Google is working on, they say it themselves, they're working on mind-controlled messaging. And so once they say it, Jones, wouldn't it make sense that they're actually already in alpha or whatever of that?
An alpha? I mean, there definitely would be a beta mode.
Well, right. Isn't like alpha the first part of that? I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I thought the beta is the beta version.
Beta is
like
the
first version.
Fine. Whatever. They're testing these things. They're testing them. They're probably this whole thing, this axe to grind against Jennifer Lawrence and other beautiful people. It probably was planted in your head by Google in the first place.
God, that's a scary thought.
So go through your Facebook friends, and I think that she should maybe put them on a custom list and only show them like the really soft core stuff of your life.
Right.
Like the plates of nachos and the
Go Blackhawks kind of stuff.
Yeah, right on. I think that, because, and what I like to do is I like to find other people named Mike Noonan and then friend them.
Are you serious? Do you do that?
I do.
That's so weird.
And I live vicariously through this guy in New Jersey.
That's so weird.
I believe a gay man, but man, his life is incredible. I fantasize that I'm that Mike Noonan all the time.
Do you ever reach out and contact him?
Oh, yeah. I like his stuff. He likes mine.
How is that not, for a guy who's all about tinfoil hat land, and you are constantly, without even getting into every detail, everybody's watching you, these devices, it's reading my mind, it's listening to me, but I'll contact anybody around the world with my same name, and then we'll just strike up a friendship, and that's enough.
Listen, man.
That's nuts.
It's a fun way of using it, actually. So, you know.
Did you ever hear about the two people who did that on Facebook, and it was a guy and a girl who happened to have the same name, and they wound up getting married? They wound up getting divorced, but they still wound up getting married.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. Hey, 708 Texter is coming to your defense.
Must be somebody you're related to yet again.
Boy, am I with you. It's all caps. It has to be some old aunt of yours. Boy, am I with you. Jennifer Lawrence is such a fake. I also threw... See, people are taking the Jennifer Lawrence angle. You screwed this whole thing up.
I did.
You needed to start with. So it goes on to say, she's just cute. She's just another pretty face. Thank you for the text at 708. You're sickened. But you led with the Jennifer Lawrence, and that was a misdirection, kind of. It got off the original point, which is you believe that if you're beautiful, you're not made to network appropriately, to act appropriately. Like if
it's harder, it's
harder. I should look at my children and say, a couple of you might have what it takes to be beautiful someday. Not that I don't know how that happened. It was my wife's doing. So I need to right now instill in them networking skills, quid pro quo, kind of almost like a mafia, like, you know, hey, pay your tribute.
Whet their beak, give them a vig. I'm not saying that beautiful people are inherently ignorant and rude. What I'm saying is it's a little bit tougher. I think there's more work that goes into it to develop a full quid pro quo personality. That's my point.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it at that then. Patty Vasquez has a night off. We're thrilled to be with you. It's Jones and Mike. The end of Jones and Mike coming up next. 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez has a night off. It's Jones and Mike in for her on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Thrilled to be here. Most of the time our shows are on WGNplus.com. All of our shows are on jonesandmike.com. Did you know that, Jones?
I did know that.
Did you know that you can, very soon, you will be able to drink at a funeral home? But it's not going to be like a bar. Don't get excited. You can't just go to, like, somebody else's funeral or wake and tie one on.
Yeah, that looks like a good one. Let's walk on in.
And I heard this character on with Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch right here on 720 WGN today, the owner of Colsack Funeral Home. And I thought, two Irish guys might have a perspective on this. So this is in Wheeling. According to the Daily Herald, the village board there voted to approve a new liquor license for Colsack Funeral Home, allowing them to serve alcohol during funerals and wakes. So, and as I heard it said by the owner of the home, it's at 189 South Milwaukee Avenue in Wheeling, by the way. As I heard him say, basically they're going to farm this out to, I believe, Tuscany is the name of the caterer, the restaurant up there. It's going to be like their official vendor for it.
Okay.
And it so clearly, in my family, there's been booze at wakes for years.
See, that's...
But this will be sanctioned in a way where you can get the lasagna tray, you can get the sausage and peppers, and then you can also get, you know, a quarter barrel.
That just seems strange to me. I mean, I can understand for some families it'd be right. But God, I just remember a couple years ago I went to a wake. One of my friends lost her father, and they were in the receiving line, and they had like kind of the red solo cup thing that they would just tuck behind like some flower and then spin out and, you know, have a little nip and then talk to the people.
With their name written in a black Sharpie on it.
Well, and then they would send like their kids running out to the car to get more and like run it back. And they weren't hammered. But I was just like, oh, man, that's just struck me as weird. But then when I started telling people, like, yeah, you know, when I went to so-and-so's and then they were kind of in the solo cup, people were like, no, that's not, I don't know, that's not a big deal.
Maybe they were chewing tobacco and they were spitting in the red solo cups.
No.
Possible?
No. Oh. Which I don't know that would have been any better.
That's not an upgrade over drinking out of a red solo cup.
I think it's weird, but I'm getting the sense that I'm in the minority on that. That it would be weird to drink it awake. There's so many weird emotions, weird family tensions.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to pour gasoline on the family fire.
That's the thing. That's what I would worry about.
Trustee Bill Hine cast the only dissenting vote. He said, quote, I consider this to be an ancillary use, and I don't think liquor licenses should be used for that. Not really a very strong statement against it. So it seems like everyone's pretty much on board with this.
So, Mike, where do you come down on this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in favor of it. I think that's a very important time for your family. And if, you know, having a couple of snorts is what y'all do as family members. Go for it, man. Go for it.
So have you ever drank at a wake?
And now I can't say that I have, no. But I do remember, man, in 1981 when my grandfather died, he was a popular dude. He had a two-night wake.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. The Irish used to do that all the time.
Oh,
now
so
it's
that
like
wasn't,
a,
maybe he wasn't that popular?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think that was unique. No. I don't think that was unique. Back in the day when my parents were, you know, and being Irish Catholic, that's like a regular thing, getting to the wake. But that would be a two-dayer was normal.
Yeah, and as a six-year-old man, I ran around. It was like a really good time as I remember it. Really, really good time for people of all ages. 847 Texter writes, I want my wake to be a celebration of my fun, exciting life. Open bar on me. I don't think literally on me is what they meant, but they're going to pay for it. So there you go. Pop for it.
Yeah, I just think, but aren't you tempting fate? Aren't you tempting some really kind of bizarro family, you know, a concealed carry shootout at the OK Corral? You didn't see it coming, but blammo incident by doing that.
Well, that's why you have the little anti-gun sticker on the door of the funeral home. That was in guns and alcohol just don't.
No. I'm not saying that there's going to be a shootout.
There's enough dead people here.
Right. No, I'm not talking about a literal shootout at the funeral home. I'm talking about an emotional shootout.
Yeah, you're right. Nerves
the dad, it depends dad on the always family. Loved you more.
Yeah, that's right. What
I'm talking about.
Dad never told me about Santa the way he told you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Nerves could be raw.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that there was surely booze flowing at least my grandfather's wake. I'm just going to guess. I was six. I don't know. But it was such a good time. Pretty sure that it happened there. Pretty sure that in many cultures this is probably the norm anyway. So hey, live and let live while
okay.
others die.
You've given me instruction on what to do with your pending passing.
That's right.
Is that what you want? You want alcohol at your wake? I'll make it happen.
Yeah, yes, okay. I do. Yes, I do. I want that. I would like it to, like the texter says, celebration of fun, exciting, all of that stuff. Yes. I would like regular Coors, quarter barrel.
The banquet beer. Wow.
I would like the banquet beer at my funeral. Hopefully this will be statewide and not just in Wheeling. But if you got a truck up to Wheeling, make it happen.
You got it.
My widow.
Those are my
orders. My widow and four children will be on board with this.
You got it.
All right. Patty Vasquez will be back. And we had a great time filling in with her for her. It's Jones and Mike on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. And WGNRadio.com.